from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. On this Saturday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Angler U, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at weather right now. Down on the island in Galveston, it's 84 degrees. Feels like 96 today. They're calling for partly cloudy skies with a high of 89. It's going to be near 100 on the high ground up in the Houston area, but they're calling for east-northeast winds 10 to 20. Right now, winds are down. They're pretty calm out of the east. And tonight, looks like a clear sky, a low of 82, east winds 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, a mainly sunny sky with a high of 89, east winds will be 10 to 20 miles per hour. So looking at the extended forecast, I mean, it's going to be in the upper 90s to 100 for the next 10 days. Very slim chances of rain. Our best chance maybe Monday or Tuesday, but not much of a chance of that, 20-30%. But it's summertime, no doubt about it. But it's calm and the fish are biting. Who cares? Got to roll with it. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on four tides. We're sitting on a low right now. That occurred at the Galveston Channel at 125 this morning. Our next tide is a high at 8:15 a.m. It's a 1.2. Then we have a low at 3:35 p.m., an 0.4. And then a high tonight at 11:29 p.m., a 1.0. 6:45 a.m. is sunrise. 8:04 p.m. is sunset. And our moon phase is 23%, headed towards our next full moon. Looking at current conditions, right now, San Luis Pass down that way, it's northwest at 5. And along the beachfront there around Pleasure Pier, it's northwest at 3. And the buoy offshore, it's east at 11. Then we're looking at Texas City at the dike. It's about 1 mile per hour out of the west. And then you get up around Eagle Point, it's east at 10. And at Morgan's Point, it's northeast at 6. So I would have to call that variable. And different wind directions about everywhere you look. The more south you go, the more west there is in it. So kind of a weird layout on the wind this morning. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at. I was reading up on something before we went on air this morning, a little article from up in Maryland, Baltimore area. Charter captain out of that fishing area yesterday ran across some tarpon that far up. That's something he's never seen before. They had gone offshore fishing for red drum, you know, redfish, and he kept seeing something roll, and it was long and flat, and he eased up in there to it, and it was a tarpon swimming under the surface, you know, 90-100-pound fish. That's just something you don't see every day, tarpon that far up in the Atlantic. I'm sure it's happened before, but you don't hear much about it. I thought that was pretty cool. So it's that'd be nice, tarpon covering the entire earth for everybody to fish with. But it's this time of year, it's a sought-after fish. Really good and hot sport. All right, well, let's go check in this morning in Baytown with Captain Blaine Firmood and see how he's doing today. Morning, Blaine. What's up, man?
Well, I'm doing very good because it's been some calm weather.
It's been nice. Very nice. It's
been a pretty good run of calm seas for us. I'm very happy. I'm loading up, getting ready to head down to Thompson's and get ready to go after my star tournament fish.
Well, good luck
with
that.
Got the stars. I got star people right now.
Right.
It's lots of fun. We're fishing for sheephead and drum and gaff top and tagged reds. That's my mission.
Well.
And we will see how I do. The redfish have been cooperating. I'm not catching big sheephead. I'm not catching big gaff top. But the more redfish you catch, the closer we are to getting a tagged one.
Right.
Hopefully. But no trout in my agenda for the next few days. Trying to finish up the summer with the kids and the dads and everybody that didn't get to fish the star tournament earlier because all the nasty weather we've had all season.
Right.
All summer. So I'm staying busy, but man, I'm just not finding those giant sheephead like I should. Earlier in the year, I was getting them.
Sheephead board's been kind of off this year, you know, as far as size, but somebody did come in with a toad. Where'd I see it at? Here it is.
A 10-9?
10-7. Larry Coleman of Highlands weighed that in at Linda's Bait and Tackle over at Sylvan Beach.
Yeah, so, I know. And I happened to got a pretty good idea where he caught it, and I am not being successful in that area. But you got to stay with it. On these, when you're fishing a tournament spot and you know that's a good place for big ones, you just got to stay there all day long. You can't move around.
Yeah, you black drum's going to be tough to beat. A 17-2 and a 15-10.
Oh, that's so fast. That's so fast.
Yeah, to be under 30 inches and to weigh that much, that's pretty strong.
Yep. And we're not doing that either.
Looks like both of those big drum were caught at Sabine Lake, a 17-2 and a 15-10. They were, you know, weighed in at Swanson Supply down there, so you can figure those are Sabine drum.
That's not doable for me because I'm not getting those kind of drum, but sheephead's very doable. It's just a luck deal to catch a tag red, and when you catch 50 a day like we're doing right now, it's every cast we've been catching in our redfish spots, but yeah. It's still luck. After that hurricane with a 10-foot high tide or whatever we had, those fish got dispersed. Wherever they were tagged and released, they're gone. They're somewhere else. But the sheephead's very doable.
Good luck with them tagged reds. Well, there is a second one in the red tag division. It was weighed in. It's pending polygraph. And it was caught around here, West End Marina. It was caught on August 3rd, so here it is.
Yeah.
We don't have a result on the,
yeah.
You know, they don't update this, but every week. So, but there's only, right now, two legitimate, you know, a blue tag and a red tag that passed polygraphs and waiting on their star tournament packages when the tournament's over. But,
it's not much time left, but I don't know how many they tagged up and down the coast, but I know it's over 100, isn't it? Like 120,
it's like
something like that.
160, 180, something like that.
Yeah,
they do a lot of them.
For as many of them as are out there, they want people to catch them. That's the whole idea behind this whole deal. They want them to get caught. That's why they release them in the good spots where everybody fishes. But anyway, I haven't been lucky enough this year to even think about it.
Well, we've had two incidents of really strong bull tides, you know, we got with that first tropical deal that hit down south that bulled our tides up, and then, you know, the last one. And
right.
That's a lot of water, you know, and it, apparently those fish may have rode the tides.
Oh, yeah. I'm different looking at it.
It's just pure luck, man.
Well, but I'm gonna tell you this: it's still a better percentage of catching a tagged red than it is going and playing the lotto. You know, so I can tell you that right now.
Well,
yeah, it's a lot better chance. So you know it. You and I have both been involved with tagged reds that we didn't win with, but we've caught them. So anyway. But, man, I got on some reds a couple of days ago. I was fishing along the edge of the channel, and I was fishing a ledge. One of my favorite redfish spots, it was like goes from 6 feet to 12 feet to 17 feet in a bend of the ship channel. Mm. Man, we caught them every cast. They were all, half of them were oversized and half of them were slot fish. But I got wore out. I sent you a picture of that one.
That one looked like a cow. I can't even believe you could hold it up.
Normally, I break them off as soon as I hook an oversized red, because I just had enough of that my whole life, and you have too, especially working these big schools of reds in these tournaments where you're throwing at thousands of them, and all of them are oversized half the time. But anyway, I hooked this one, and I said, that is a giant fish. It's got to be a drum, and it finally came up way out there, and I said, well, I'm going to get this in to see how big he was, and I didn't have a scale big enough to weigh him, but I guarantee you that was 40 to 45 pounder. He was a big one. I couldn't even hold him up, like you said. That you saw the picture.
Well, there's no holding that one up and shoving it through the lens.
You can't put that out.
What you see is what you get.
I guarantee you he was over 4 feet long, and I don't know how heavy he was.
That was a big one. That was a
But that, it hurt my left arm so bad, because I was bound and determined to get him. It hurt my left arm. I didn't want to catch another fish the rest of the day. Anyway,
you know, man.
Yeah, we've been fishing all these rocks trying to catch sheephead and all that other stuff, and we've been catching so many little redfish. It's unbelievable, Mickey. I mean, the up and comers like 8 to 10 inches. Wow. I mean, hundreds of them. Yeah, every time the cork goes down, it's either a hardhead or a little red. So
maybe one of these days we'll actually have some big herds of slot reds for
slots.
Herds of bulls.
But I tried out in our open bay the other day in Trinity Bay, and I caught gaff top everywhere I went. I didn't catch anything
else.
I love
that sweet water, man.
I'm telling you, man. And I was throwing the kitchen sink at them, and it didn't matter what you threw, you're catching gaff top. So anyway, but I'm working it out, trying to find the big ones, but I'm not doing a good job. But there's no, when you're using live shrimp or croakers or whatever, live bait, it's nonstop action. It's good for the kids, good for the people, the rod bending, but it's not good for the guy that has to take off 200 hard heads a day.
Yeah, how about the hard heads this year? There's no shortage of them.
They're killing me. And
that's nasty.
That cork goes down and then it pops right back up, and you know what that is. So it's not what we're looking for. If that cork goes down and you never see it again, that's a good fish. Whether it be a sheephead or red or trout or whatever.
I think the leader on gaff top is 7.9 right now. So
that's still very doable right there. That's very possible for someone to get ahead of that.
On average, the size is way down this year. You got a 5.4, 5.7, a 5.7, and a 6.0, and then that 7.9.
Well, from a guide's viewpoint, my season really has been tough on me. I've lost so many trips because of all this nasty, crazy weather we've had.
I know.
It's just been a roller coaster ride, and I'm so old. If the conditions aren't right and, you know, it's blowing too hard, I say, you know, y'all's chances are not going to be real good. I'll take you fishing if you want to pay the money and take a chance. But, you know, I recommend a lot of times that we should not go, and it's probably for the best reasons. When I recommend we shouldn't go, we shouldn't go. So, but anyway, carrying on, doing the thing we do with the fishing guide, finishing it up, and I got to get to the ranch here pretty quick. We got to head to the ranch here at the end of August, start getting all the dove fields ready and all that, which we're going to have a great season on. Looks like Argentina down there. I'm sure something's going to mess it up. Another hurricane or something will come down there and push them out, but right now it looks we're on top of the world of doves. All of South Texas is.
Well, I know I think all of Texas, you can bank on it. It's going to rain on your chances of getting rain on opening day of dove season are pretty good.
I don't know, 30 and 40 years ago when we hunted up in Winnie on the DeVilla property, it seemed like every opening day of dove season it poured down on us.
Oh, man.
We had to trudge through the mud trying to get a couple of doves. And it's crazy.
Man, if you're going to dove hunt, go west and south.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to really kill them, you know, mess them up.
I want to do a little education fishing. You know, you hear me talk about, and everybody does, fishing on, along the ship channel, which I do a lot of it. But you got to really be careful along the channel because whether you're from marker 50 all the way up to the Lynchburg Ferry, you got to be careful and pay attention to these ship waves. And I want to tell you a quick story of what happened to Eddie Tucker a while back. He was fishing.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Let me do this break.
Okay.
And I'll come back and we'll talk about that.
I want to hear that too.
Hang on, buddy. All right. Well, you know, folks, AnglerU, they're committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. And what you get is you get weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience. And they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics. And they're archived so you can see patterns over periods of time. And they have educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or fishing out of a kayak, just go to anglerU.com. That way you can become a member today and you can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. So save a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com. And you can improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 418 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Blaine, we're back, man.
Okay, very good. Very good.
So on the I remember you telling me the Eddie Tucker story.
Yeah, Eddie Tucker, and I've been taking Christian Harris out this summer quite a bit. He's a linebacker for the Texans. Anyway, Eddie had him out the other day, a while back, a month ago, and they're in the ship channel, and the harbor tug's coming. What people don't know about a harbor tug is they're the ones that help the ships get in and out of the harbors, and also if they have a steering problem or they're too heavily loaded. Anyway, harbor tugs help the ships. They help the ships up and down the whole ship channel. Anyway, Eddie saw a harbor tug trudging down the channel, and he saw an aluminum boat over there against the bank fishing, and not that close to the bank, but they had the rear end of their boat was towards the channel. Their bow was facing the bank. And that harbor tug, it throws real, real big and tall, little short waves. And there's about four or five waves that come off a harbor tug. Anyway, he was looking at them, just going down the channel. He's down the channel. All of a sudden, they're gone. There's three guys floating. That harbor tug waves hit the back end of that boat, and one wave got in it. Next wave got it full. The third wave filled it up, and it sunk. And if Eddie hadn't had Christian Harris on the boat with him, who's a strong, big man, and the guys that were dog paddling out there, their boat's gone out from underneath them. They were big guys. So Eddie said if he hadn't had Christian, he'd have never got them guys on the boat. But if he hadn't have been there at that exact moment, those guys probably would have drowned, because, I mean, it happened so quick. It was crazy. So
isn't that nuts?
People fishing, it's that, you know, and Eddie said it scared the heck out of him. He said it really did, because if he had been by himself or with people, with kids or something, they'd have never got them guys in the boat because they were just too heavy to pull into the boat.
Man.
And boy, he said that boat went down. It went straight to the bottom. So you and I talk about it all the time. About you fishing the ship channel, it's a great place to fish, but you got to be aware of what's going on along that channel.
Yeah,
if you're in shallow water and the ship's coming, get away from that shallow water. So in harbor tugs, see what's coming, get your bow into those waves. Don't let the rear end get into those waves. You'll go down.
Your stern into them, you're done. You know, just
yeah.
My time I've been around, I know of four charter captains that have sunk their boats out there because they neglected to pay attention, and a rogue wave just comes off those ships, and you're down. I mean, you fill that boat up with water, and you got it full of people, and everybody runs to one side. That boat's rolling.
Yep.
Or it's going
flips.
Down. Yep.
I've had close calls out there myself, even with my old big old 26-foot pursuit I had out there. Got full of water one time, and that was a long, long time ago. But the first time I ever went out to the channel, I followed Marshall Deal out from Thompson's. I was a young man. I was 16 or 17. I had a little small boat, and there wasn't hardly any ships back in those days. And a ship came by, and this old man and woman were in a little V-bottom aluminum boat, and they went down, and I had to save them at 16 years old. And I had a utmost respect about the ship channel after that day when I got that old man and woman in my boat. Their boat had sank. It flipped it over. They were on 5 mile hump, and a wave hit it. The water sucked out, and they hit dry land, and then the big wave hit it and flipped them over. They were in about 3 or 4 foot of water.
You know, there was a couple out there that a man and a woman, a husband and wife, that drowned, I don't know, what was that, 10 or 12 years ago? They were out there in that same area. And that was all she wrote.
Yep, just people be careful, be aware of what's going on.
You got to put your bow into it and be under power.
Yep. Best thing to do is get away from the shallow water you're in. Those spoil banks along the channel are notorious for us catching millions of fish our whole life, but they're also, every time a ship comes by, get away. It disrupts your fishing for 15 minutes or so, or maybe more, but get away from it. Just get out there. But I remember Rick Hersey got hit by a wave, and we were way out there. A big ship was coming. We saw the waves coming.
Well,
we got
you and I were anchored up on bulkhead, and he was out away from it. And
He was in deep water, and that wave hit. It was a giant wave. That was a 10-footer, and one of his guys fell down the boat and broke his arm.
Yeah,
you know, it was a bad deal. But
I still remember that guy standing up holding his forearm, and it was hanging straight down.
I know it. Oh, it made me want to throw up. It was terrible.
Snapped it in half like a twig, man.
Yeah, and it's just that's the lifeblood of Houston, though, is that ship channel, and there's more and more of them. And those container ships are the worst ones because they're so heavy and so big. So, everybody be careful. It's great fishing, but just be careful. There's no fish in the world.
Those container ships will put you on the bottom.
They're giant now, and they're going to get bigger.
Much bigger. Well, and that ship channel is going to be even deeper and wider, you know, when they get through with this project they started now.
Oh, yeah.
Massive port.
Yeah. Yep. But I hope this weather continues the same, Mickey. You can go anywhere you want to go, and it's spread people out quite a bit. Everybody's fishing everywhere now, and that's a good thing. I like that. Yeah. I'm not seeing anybody where I'm fishing. I'm probably in the wrong spot, I guess.
Well, there's just not a lot of people fishing, you know, especially for these conditions in this time of year. It's just,
I know it.
You know,
the
pressure is real light compared to what we see, in, you know, have seen in the past. So,
I've been doing this for 50 years, and I think this is the slowest summer I've ever had. Not just because of the weather and all the other things that it is, fresh water and all that. That's all adds together, but people just have not been booking like they normally do.
No.
So it's just one of those things. I'm going by Tabs Bay right now. It is not a ripple on the whole bay out here in Tabs Bay right here towards Thompson's.
Yeah, it's calm everywhere right now. It's about 11 offshore, but it's weird. We got like two different wind directions in Galveston Bay right now.
which way?
It's real light. You got east up your way, light out of the east.
Yeah.
And down south, it's northwest. Like San Luis Pass a while ago, it was, I think, northwest at 5.
Well, the great thing about calm seas is you can go anywhere you want to. You don't have to worry about boat slap and lots of other things that go on with heavy winds. But the bad thing is, about 11 o'clock, it's starting to get pretty hot out there. You better have light-colored clothes on. And every now and then, what I do is I pick up and go make a little boat run and let cool people off. Because it's just, you can tell when people sit down and they quit fishing hard and they, you know, they're trying to drink a lot of water and everybody just starts giving up on me. That's when it's time you better go drive the boat around.
Yes.
Get it moving.
Here's what's weird. Once you get to Eagle Point, it's east at 9 and 10, and then up Morgan's Point way, it's east, northeast at 6. But below that line, you know, from Eagle Point to Smith Point, below that, everything's kind of west and northwest. It's weird.
Yeah, that's some kind of gradient, temperature gradient or something.
Then you go to the Galveston North Jetty, and it's east at 9. But all down the west end down there, it's all got northwest in it. You know, the surf fishermen are going to love that this morning down that way.
Oh, my goodness. I heard they've
been
whacking
off the bank, buddy.
Yep, there you go. That's where we wish you and I were, in deep south Texas, chunking a topwater, standing on the bank, standing on the sand, not even getting your feet wet, catching some big boys, topwaters. But I think what I'm going to do today is do my star tournament thing upstream, try to get some fish, and then just for my own selfish thing, I'm going to go out into the open bay out along the ship channel out there on that big island, try to catch a few trout before I come in, just for myself, just to make sure they're still popping around out there. The last time I was out there, we caught them. Lots of little trout, too, Mickey. If you throw artificials, the other day I was throwing them, and I couldn't get away from 12 to 14 inches. It was really good. I mean, that's just up-and-coming stuff. So, and actually that day, artificials were better than live shrimp or croakers. So, but it's just catching millions of them. Sitting in one spot, how many are there out there when you can sit in one little spot and catch them, you know, catch 20 or 30 trout in just a few minutes?
Sure.
How many trout are out there? I want them to hurry up and get big, but of course, big nowadays is 20 inches. That's a big trout.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes that long for a fish to get 20 inches here in Trinity Bay. A couple years maybe, huh?
No, it takes longer than that.
3 years? Well,
yeah, I got a chart on that from the Heart Institute. I can give you exactly.
You can tell me exactly.
Where is my spotted sea trout?
We've always said our whole life that we think the fish grow faster up in Trinity Bay because of our bait. We have just such an enormous amount of bait up here.
Well, a 21-inch trout is 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's a long time. A
19-incher is 3 years old. 1 year is 12-inch. 2 years, 16-inch. So we got... Man, we got a ton of 1 and 2 year old fish, and then, you know,
so
3 years at 19.
These keepers that we're catching are like 1 to 2 years old. Is that basically a year and a half to 2.5 years old, huh?
Yeah, they're
something
kindergartners.
Like Yeah, yeah. Well, that's if it works, I'm gonna be very happy. So we've had a better year of catching oversized trout, which is over 20 inches, than I've had in the past couple of years, because they're all getting bigger. All the fish we've had are just getting a little bit bigger. So we caught 10 or 12 oversized trout, which is over 20 inches, which that's not saying a whole lot compared to the old days, but saying a lot for today.
Yeah,
so they're growing up.
Those sizes in that age chart I was giving you, those are female fish. Now, a male, that's a whole different deal.
Yeah. But,
A 4-year-old male is only 16 inches long. And for a male to reach 21 inches, he's 10 years old.
Do you remember in the old days when we'd catch a male that was 5 to 6 pounds?
Oh, I know.
It was that. Can you imagine how old that fish had to be that big?
Sure.
That male? Boy. Yep.
And it.
Unreal.
But we had so many, 8 to 9 pound females. You have to have males half their size to support,
They look for each other. Yep. They look for each other.
The male should be half the size of the female to have enough sperm to fertilize the eggs, to make it a successful spawn. And salinity rate's got to be right, so the eggs are more buoyant and they don't go to the bottom.
You remember many years ago, I guess 20 to 30 years ago, when we'd go to deep reef and all those giant fish would be just swimming on top together. They were all doing their thing, dropping eggs and fertilizing. And you could see those big, huge trout on top of there. And they wouldn't bite, but you could just see them. I mean, we'd catch some, but those big old trout were just swimming on top out there on deep reef. And there were thousands of them, giant. Oh, yeah. They look like they were, 10 pounders, when they're in the water like that. And I'm sure there were 7 pounders, but. And we caught our share of those big ones, but when they're doing that spawning thing.
I've seen that in Trinity Bay up in the pocket and, out in that open area by the river mouth between Seelees and Effleys, where they'd get under those big, huge rafts of mullet. I guess the mullet were spawning, too, and the trout would be in there with them. And you could see them in that clear water. Those big females would just suspend right under the surface, and the male would be nudged up to her pointing the other way, waiting for her to squirt. Yeah. And it's pretty interesting.
Well, when we used to have salty water, Mickey, that water got clear and you could see all that stuff. We haven't had many conditions where I can see these fish anymore, other than tailing reds. It's just been, we haven't just had clear water up here in Trinity Bay for I don't know how many years, but I would call clear.
Even in the drought days when we had all that high salinity rates back there, that water never got clear. It was just too much silt, from all the floods and, the channel dredging and all that. It's really changed.
I guess clear to us is like clear to people in Baffin Bay. We can see 2 feet down in the water, we call it clear.
Yeah.
And sometimes in Baffin,
you can remember
the same
though,
way.
Back in the fall up there, you could see the bottom in 9 and 10 feet of water. You can see everything.
When the water cools down, it gets more dense and the silt goes to the bottom. You can see them. That was fun. You could stand up on your bow up there and throw a mirror out there and watch those trout just follow it back up to the boat and striking at it. Those were the days.
Yeah, that's
sure was fun. Sure was fun back in those days.
That was some really clean, pure water back
then. But it's all relative. It's all relative, Mickey. Back in those days, there was no – before 82, there was no limits in Trinity Bay. We're a non-regulatory county. You could catch all the trout you wanted.
Yeah, they were still gill netting, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were the last
that wasn't that long ago,
on the
82.
Texas coast to close netting.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, 82,
we were the last ones. Yeah. Well, we can do is just talk about it and tell all the kids how it was, just like our old timers told us how it used to be on everything else.
Yeah, but they never had it like we did. We went through an era right there from the mid 70s to about 90, the things that even the old timers had never seen before. They couldn't believe
they didn't have the boats that we had for them to see what we saw. And we were the pioneers because we finally got some boats you could go somewhere in and travel. And we got to find a whole bunch of stuff that nobody ever even fished for before.
I know. It was great in the 80s.
You didn't have the equipment.
It only broke down about 50 times a year back in the 80s. God.
I know it.
Garbage.
Well, all of us old guys, we are pioneers because we had the equipment that would change real fast for fishing. And we were right there in the middle of it and helping the equipment change. We wanted big, better and better and lighter on rods and reels. We wanted bigger motors and more motors that could get us there and get us back. Yeah, and we got it. We got all that now. Look at everything. Look at the equipment. Look how much a boat is now. 25-foot boat is $115,000.
Yeah.
When we're fishing out,
our grocery prices and everything else.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everything is shoot.
Yep.
I bought some blades. Changed. I bought some blades for my tractor for the shredder. 3 years ago, they were $85 for a set of blades. Now they're $420 for a set of mower blades. And that's gone up a lot.
To tell
just
us
before
across
you...
the board, inflation's only 20%. I beg to differ.
No,
I beg to differ.
No. It all changes, Mickey. All right, well, you know, it's hard to when you get old like us. We don't like change, but it's changing every day.
It is. I'm just kicking back. I'm watching all of it. I'm just laughing. Chilling, man.
But I'm still glad we just got a lot of fish, really, and truly and truly. Well, there is a lot of fish out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're nowhere near what we were, but we're getting there. It's coming back. Just got to leave it alone and let it grow.
Well, there's been places across the United States that went completely dead, like Chesapeake Bay and stuff like that, where the pollution levels got so heavy. And we're a perfect example of in this area right here, this commercial, you know, all the petrochemical business, you know, used to, they used to dump all that stuff in our bay system. I mean, back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and even into the 70s, and the EPA cleaned it up. Now our water's cleaner than it's ever been upstream.
Well,
for me,
I
fished up there quite a bit.
Need to do your research and read up on what Ike put in this bay, what happened.
Yeah. But it's nothing like it was, Mickey. Back in those days, they could dump that stuff legally. They can't do it anymore.
No,
so it was way worse
legally. That's true.
Well.
All right, buddy. Well, I got to roll out of here. If somebody wants to call you about fishing, Blaine, or even, you know, dove hunting's right around the corner, man.
We got it all going on right now. Anything you want, I think we got it. So give me a call at 713-703-6656. Appreciate
right,
you, Mickey.
Hey, be safe out there. Do it up, brother. See you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's Captain Blaine Farmood in Baytown. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 441 here in the Bayou City. All right. Speaking of war pigs, let's go check in with the fish dude. He's declared war on fish years ago. What's up, Richard?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in here, brother. How about you?
I hear you. You know I'm hanging in. It's hard with the snow, wind, and all this excessive heat. Oh, my goodness.
Tough on an old man. Yep.
I guarantee you, there ain't no doubt about it, boy. I'll tell you what, I've been wanting to go bass fishing, and I've been waiting on a part to come in from a trolling motor because I had over at Coletta the other day. I know. What's weird is I got one of those Minn Kota Ultrexes on that front of that bass boat, so it's got a foot pedal. And it turns right, but it's hard as heck to make it turn left. And I was going, what in the world's going on? All this stuff's electronic. And it put it on spot lock, and it'll sit there and spin and do everything it's supposed to do. But I thought, well, maybe there's a cable messed up on it or something like that. But I got back to the house and got to researching it a little bit, and there's a little sensor underneath the foot pedal that I gotta replace that makes it where it turns right and left.
Oh, so manually it messes up, but on spot lock it works right.
Yep, everything works great when you're on spot lock, but manually if you try to turn left on spot or whenever you're just kind of going down a bank or something or other, it's like minimal break a cable, do it, push on this thing so hard. But
right,
so I get that little thing replaced and should be back in business. So I'm going to try to finally got the part in yesterday. So
you still using those guys up there by the airport?
Well, yeah, you know it. It's the thing is that for the most part on stuff like this that I can figure out, I do it on my own. I just order it off the internet. So it's, you know, this one here is simple enough. You know, I just got to take the pedal apart and put this part in And you know, it's one of those deals. So, but for the major stuff, absolutely, I take it over there. So that's just, I can't break the head apart and do all that stuff. I'm not skilled enough at that stuff. But
right.
But you know, the other thing is, I'm gonna kind of get on a little high horse here on this deal. The other day a friend of mine and I were talking about Conroe and stuff, and he said he saw him out there spraying that grass. So that's one thing that I know.
Like
I just
a herbicide or what?
I'm not sure what they do, but they do it at Rayburn a lot also. But one of the things that gets me, and I know you and I have talked about how Roundup will kill a dog and stuff like that. They'll end up dying of cancer if they get over there and eat the grass that's been sprayed.
Right.
And they're out there spraying the water with this thing. Back in 1987, I believe, Mark Webb, which was a Parks and Wildlife guy, had a town hall meeting type thing at the Huntsville State Park. And back then, you know, people were kind of new to hydrilla control and stuff like that. And so we got to, in that little town hall meeting, you know, everybody was invited. We all got out there to the park and kind of discussed how to control hydrilla. And there's several different ways. One of them is a gnat that they put out there, but that's not feasible because they don't eat very much of it. They eat just a little holes in it. And then they got hydrilla cutters, which cut 4 feet below the surface, and that works great. The problem with it is hydrilla grows at the rate of 6 inches a day. So you're going to have you're kind of defeating
the yard, man. Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. So, you know, you're going to be out there constantly doing it. So from a cost standpoint, that's not cost effective. And then the other thing is spraying it. And then the other thing is putting the grass carp in there, the white amur, like they did on Conroe. And that was a hot topic back then because they had just done Conroe and pretty much devastated every bit of vegetation in Conroe. But from my standpoint, and you can go to the SJRA website, and they talk about the cleanest water in Texas. If you're spraying chemicals in it because they're using it for drinking water, it's not the cleanest water in Texas anymore. So, you know, you can't take that out of the water. I mean, I don't care who you are. You know, I don't care what you say. You can't take those chemicals out of the water like that. You can try. But it's, you know, to me, are they creating a bigger problem by spraying this stuff? And because I think several years ago, they mandated that the Woodlands has to get off their well water, and they take water exclusively out of Lake Conroe. That's how they get their drinking water. So now you've got water that you're poisoning, and then you're selling to people. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I just, like I say, that's one of those things. And I know there's a lot of people dead set against carp, but Parks and Wildlife knows how to control those carp. They know how to control the vegetation in the lake by the use of the carp. Why don't they do that? I mean, if they're dead set against getting rid of that hydrilla, put it in there the right way, keep the shoreline grasses like they've been doing for years, you know, because what happens is the carp live about 20 years. Okay, and that's it. Most people say, oh, they reproduce. No, you're looking at German carp. You're watching German carp. They reproduce all the dang time. They're up on the banks thrashing and beating and everything in the spring. That's what you're seeing. The German carp are more of a golden color than that white-looking white amur. And so they're, you know, they are a sterile fish, so they're not reproducing in the lake, you know, as far as a fisherman's concerned.
Right.
So let them put those things back in there. Have, you know, if they're going to do something like that, I'm way, way more for putting carp in the lake than I am spraying some kind of herbicide in the water. I am dead set against that.
That they're using, it's got to be some kind of enviro friendly, huh? If they're doing it,
I'm not sure what it is. I've
solution
never really
by dilution.
I guess that's what it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know, like I say, I know they do it at Rayburn all the time. They'll take those airboats out there, and they got a big fire hose, and they go to spray in the banks for the most part,
right.
and you know, like I say, I just have no idea what the chemical is that they're putting out there, but it does kill the vegetation. Now, how true this is on Conroe, I don't know. He said right. He saw the boats out there spraying. I have not seen them out there spraying, but I've had several people over the past couple of months tell me, hey, these boats are out there spraying. Well, like I say, I've not seen them out there, so I can't say, you know, for
certain.
It'd be
nice if they were out there spraying millions of fingerling crappie in the lake.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, that'd be great. I'd love that.
Yeah, do some more research on that. Stay in touch on that. Let me know what you find out.
Yeah,
that's interesting. We don't have anything else in our water. We got enough problems, you know.
I agree. I mean, you know, that's Cabela's has got the best saying. Everybody lives downstream. I mean, keep
that's
it clean.
Right. That's exactly true. Everything runs downhill, buddy.
Exactly. Exactly. There ain't
all
no
right,
doubt.
Man. So. I got to run. Hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing, getting hooked up, give them some info, Richard.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
You can sure talk fast for a boy from East Texas. All right, man.
We'll see. Have fun, Mickey.
I had a text like that about you one time. I said, man, that guy talk fast for somebody from East Texas. All right, man.
I heard that.
All right, Richard. Later. All right, now let's go down to Matagorda. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's happening?
I don't know, waking up with a cough. Was that Saharan dust bad or something?
Man, I don't know. I've had all kinds of issues lately. Need to stay in the house. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Things are different.
Sneezing, are different. Coughing, crud going around. I know a lot of people with summer colds right now, you know, like everybody used to get those old summer colds. And it's the ozone, you know, everything's bad right now. Air stagnation advisories with this calm weather.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I got that summer cold, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think I've really recovered from it. But I haven't had a cough. I don't know why in the hell I went to bed coughing last night.
Well, usually when I get that, that's when I get the cough, is after you get well. And you cough for about a week.
Maybe that's what's happening. But anyway, what was that weather that came through yesterday afternoon?
No, I could hear the static in the radio because I had the Astros game out on the patio and on the radio. And I, you know, with AM radio, you can hear that static in it. And I looked back to the west, and I could see that it looked like rain that way, but I didn't ever get my phone and pull up radar and look at it. But it was surprising to hear that. I didn't think we were going to get any rain, period, for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, me too. I'm just kind of shocked. But
yeah.
Well, we've got some big crowds down here right now. You know, people have it to go fishing with all these calm conditions. But, man, it sure is hot. Golly.
Yeah, about 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it's pretty gnarly out there. It's not bad if you don't do anything, but when you're outside, you're always doing something.
Yeah. And our currents are really weak in the mornings.
Yeah, these four tide days we're on right now, they're pretty weak. Yeah. You know, unless you fish in the surf or down by the pass, you'll get a lot better current. But up my way, they're weak.
Yeah, I'm not hearing much on the artificial fishermen catching them in the surf, but you know the guys throwing croakers, they seem to be dominating it.
Well, that happens, you know, when that surf calms down, and then after it's been clear for 2 or 3 days, it's hard to catch them on lures. You've seen that before.
Yeah, I know a couple of the boys got them on the Mid Bay reefs with lures yesterday, but 90% of everything I've seen and heard is it's the croaker fishermen doing the best right now.
Well, that's good since live shrimp's in kind of short supply right now.
There ain't no live shrimp down here.
Man, it's slim pickings. Now, up my way, the shrimpers are just filling their nets up with shrimp.
Yeah.
They're catching them good. So.
I went and waded the shoreline yesterday where a buddy was the day before, and it was just loaded with trout and reds, and he was kicking up buckets of shrimp. And we walked about a mile, and we caught nothing, and there ain't a shrimp in sight.
Well, that shrimp moved, and the fish went with it, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. And the shrimper down here was asking me about seeing much shrimp in the bay, and I told him about that, and he was just scratching his head. So I guess everything's on the move. You better be in the right spot, and if you're not catching them, get off that water early, because it's going to get hot.
Yeah, it is. And there's, yeah. You know, there is a pretty good midday bite right now if you want to stick it out, but a lot of people don't.
Mickey, it's always been like that in August.
I know it.
The best bite's in the middle of the damn day.
I know. Boy, remember we'd get out on them wells, and, man, it'd just be dead slick and putrid and just, you know, this is back when we were young. You had to dip a rag in the cooler and wrap it around your neck and just keep catching them, winching them in.
Yeah.
The hotter it got, the better the bite got, it seemed like.
6, 7, 8 pounders.
Oh, boy. I mean, that was pretty impressive.
It was.
Days gone by.
Sometimes I think it was a dream, but it was a reality.
Yeah. How'd you do today, Charlie? Well, I didn't do so good. I only got 4 boxes. Only 4.
Filled 155 quart igloo.
That's it. And then you couldn't lift it out to, you know, get it out of your boat.
Yeah. Filled 384 quart igloos.
Yeah, I remember that was the biggest igloo there was back in the day, was that 84 or 86 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He's packing them in there like cordwood, man, from end to end.
Yep. And
big boys.
And be mad because you had to quit to go play a softball game or something.
Yeah, or run a little league practice or something like that, man. Left them biting.
Yep. That was it.
All right, man. Well, good luck with the crowds this weekend. Find you a little niche and get on it and stay on it and get them and get in, man.
That's what we're going to try to do. I'm getting up and we'll start moving around and get rolling.
Okay. Our Astros won a good one last night. That was a good game. I enjoyed that.
Good. Who pitched? I'm
watching. Blanco started out. He didn't look so good, but he didn't pitch that bad. But he got his 4 innings in. His pitch count was way up, so they brought the bullpen in, and then Presley scared the heck out of us in the 9th inning. But it all came out all right. We won 8-4.
Super.
All right, buddy. Well, throw them out a number, Charlie. Somebody wants to come down and hang out with you, man.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie P. Good talking to you. You have a good weekend, Charlie.
Take care, Mickey.
See you, man. Later.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.